everyone in new and fresh ways. Pray and believe for an encounter with God. You might say, well, I've already had an encounter. Well, pray and believe for another one. And another one after that, and another one after that. Believe that exciting things can happen to you that will change your life. It doesn't matter how much has changed already. Believe God that it'll change some more. Expect things out of the ordinary to take place in your life. Things that you really never even thought of. You can have an expectancy about something is going to happen in your life without really knowing what it is. And that can come as, you know, in ways that it is, finances come in a way that you never had before or never really thought of before, or relationships come in such a way that you never thought of before, or all kinds of things. Things can happen that when you least expect it. I remember sitting, I was just thinking about this week, I was sitting in a meeting where I was at. It was a large meeting, and a friend of mine leaned over and passed me a piece of paper, and he said, here, we want you to have this, we want to bless you. It was a check for $1,000 that he made it to me personally. And I just praise God. And totally not expecting. But you know that happened a number of years ago. But you know, God, you did that happen once. You know, that could happen again. Say, that could happen to me. Sure. And when we look at the exciting things that finances can bring us, that's only a very small part of the blessing of God that comes into our lives. It's a part of it, but there's so much more than just that. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to share with you something that God put in my heart just the other night as we were praying. We met here last Wednesday night and we were praying, and God told me what direction to go on Sunday morning when we prayed together. I tell you one thing, folks, some things happen when you pray together. When people come together to pray. We were praying upstairs this morning and just really sensed the leading of the Holy Spirit, the leading of God, that He wanted us to experience His joy and His peace and so forth, and that those of us, at least were there, were kind of caught up for a few minutes in the Spirit of God. And we missed you there. We missed your supply of the Spirit of Jesus that you carry. Because each one of us carries a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. And when you come into a time of prayer, you bring a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. And if you're not there, we miss it. So take advantage of prayer times. Come together to pray, to seek Him, to see the Spirit of the Lord do some awesome things. I want to share with you this morning about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about that a little bit because I believe God is leading us in a path of preparation for the things that He wants to do in the days ahead. And some of these healing services that we are walking into, I believe that God is leading us into them in a fashion where we're going to see a real solid foundation laid down, and we're going to build on it, and we're going to see some miraculous things take place in the spirit realm. And we're going to realize more and more, not only when we come to church and we desire to see the presence of God come into our lives and to enjoy His presence, we're going to go further than thinking that's just for church. We're going to realize that we can walk out into our daily lives and have the presence of God upon us no matter what we're doing. Because we so desperately need His presence. It doesn't make any difference if you're doing your devotions in the morning or doing your work, whatever you're at, in the daytime. We need the presence of God and should expect the presence of God to be manifested there in our midst. And as we go through life, no matter what we're doing, whether it's being a husband, being a wife, being a mom, being a dad, being a worker, whatever job we're involved in, whatever business we have, we must count and nurture the anointing of God upon us for that situation that we are in. In other words, whatever we're doing, count on the anointing of God to be there to bring you into an experience that you never really thought about. You know, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, there's a lot of things that we walk into and experience before we really get the theology down. There's things that we learn that we kind of bump into and we realize that this has happened. Then we go back in the Scripture and say, oh, that's what that was. The apostles did the same thing many times. In fact, that's the way Jesus taught them. When Jesus took His disciples through a journey for 3.5 years, there's a point that it came to after He rose from the dead. He said He opened their minds to the Scriptures. He opened to them that they begin to understand, and he started pointing out some of the things that had already taken place within their lives, like the people going out and bringing healing to other people and so forth. Things that had already taken place, he pointed to them, and he was showing them the experience that they walked through had all to do with the scripture or the theory of it. And you and I, God is leading us today into places that we've never been before. And if we think we're going to have all the theory down before we ever experience, we'll never get there. Faith is a dynamic that you and I must learn to walk in so that we can experience things that we don't necessarily know about. I've heard this scripture many times before, and actually this week I was in Halifax, and Pastor Gary Hooper brought this up to me. We were talking privately, and he talked about the scripture where it talks about when the children of Israel are going into the land of Canaan, and they were on a journey, and it talked about how God was going to take them to a place that they've never been before. And one thing that we can rest assured of when we're going to a place that we've never been before, we need to follow somebody who's been there before. And God is the one who's been there before. God is the one who knows where to take us. He's the one who knows where he wants us to go. And as we trust in him in each step of the way, we'll experience some things in the Spirit. Now let's read from the Gospel of Matthew 28. I've heard some preacher say this recently, and I thought, that's really good. And he was reading some scripture, and he says, now whenever I read some scripture, don't turn off, because that's probably the most important thing I'll say all morning. It could be, and it probably will be when you think of the value of the scriptures. We need to know the scriptures. We need to understand the scriptures. We need to read the word. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is going to come and bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus told, things that Jesus said. Well, if we've never read what he said, how can the Holy Spirit bring it to our remembrance? We have make sure you know the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Have a good, solid foundation of understanding of reading through that scripture and the life of Jesus. Many, many other things are important in the epistles, but read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Have a good, solid foundation of that. And if you don't know all the stories, if you don't know the stories that I mention once in a while within the context of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're not reading the Bible enough. It's pretty clear. We have to have an understanding of the Word of God. It is your life. It's where nourishment comes from. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, now he said this when he was about ready to go into heaven. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So here we see Jesus asking his disciples to do something. He's asking them to do something that they are incapable of doing on their own. He's asking them to do something that demands a supernatural power upon their lives for them to be able to do. And when you come into this arena of Christianity, God is asking you and I to live a life in such a fashion that it's going to demand an intervention of the Holy Spirit into our lives in order for us to live it out. We can't do it on our own. Now, if we think we can, we're missing it. We're missing what Christianity is all about. Christianity is a supernatural experience that requires a supernatural ability in order to walk it out in life. It's not just coming to church on Sunday morning. It's not just having some kind of religious ritual that we go through and think, well, yeah, we're Christians because this is what Christians do. No, the normal Christian lifestyle is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is a supernatural relationship, that we know we walk in such a peace that we couldn't enjoy it if the Holy Spirit wasn't imparting it to us. We have a supernatural joy that we couldn't have unless the Holy Spirit imparted it to us. We have a supernatural love that we couldn't have for one another unless the Holy Spirit imparted that love to us. The scripture says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. His love has been placed on the inside of us, in the inside of me. And that's why I can say, I love you all. I'd do anything for you that could help you in the journey that you're on. becoming conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know Jesus put that there. I know God put that there. I mean, before I was saved, it was me and myself and I, and that was it. That's all I cared about. But now, it just fills my heart with love and joy to think about, I care about you, and I want you to reach your destiny in the Lord. And Jesus said to his disciples, go and teach them, teach other people to do, to observe all the things that I've commanded you to do. Well, Jesus did things. He showed his disciples how to do things, but he said he gave them some glimpses of what was needed in their lives if they were going to be able to do the things that Jesus did. And one of the things that Jesus said in John 14:10, he says, the Father who dwells in me, he does the work. So Jesus himself said, I didn't do it on my own. Jesus himself realized that he needed the power. He realized that he needed something that was beyond his natural confinement. He needed something from heaven in order to do the things that he did. And he said, the works that I do, it is the Father in me. He does the work. Are you caught up with that sometimes? Do you do some things that you realize sometimes that it was the Spirit of God in you that actually accomplished it? That actually caused it to come to pass? You ever go through a trial or a struggle, a temptation and so forth, and you came out good on the good side of it, and you realize that it was God that brought you through? Well, that's a supernatural power of God that comes into us and changes us and brings us into a place where we are able to yield to the power of God in order to live for him. What else did Jesus also said in Luke 4:18? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And if you read the rest of that verse, it talks about what he was anointed for, to preach the gospel and so forth. But really what he was saying, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to do the things that he's called me to do. And God has anointed you to do the things that he has called you to do. Do you know what God has called you to do? That's something that I can't as an individual go to you and say, this is definitely what God has called you to do. You have to pray and find that out for yourself, because there is a calling on your life. God is interested. God wants to put something in you so that you'll know the direction. You'll know the next step. You'll not always be guessing. And when you find that, the anointing of God will be on you to carry it out. It will be. I believe that there's general anointings and there's specific anointings. For instance, I believe that if we are going to be a father, a mother, a parent in this world, that there's a general anointing that for to be a father or a mother that comes upon us to be able to carry that out so that we can be a godly father or a godly mother. But there are also specific anointings. As God has called you to a specific task. If it's business, if God has called you to business, then I believe there's a specific anointing for you in the business that he's called you to. If God has called you to be a farmer, and there's specific anointings. I know that for myself, called to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that the anointing is on me to do that. I don't only sense it when I'm preaching to you. I sense it sometime when I'm praying and when I'm studying the Word of God, preparing to get the Word out to you. I sense the presence and the anointing of God on me to do that. But you have to take time to cultivate that. To say, God, I thank you that you're here. You're here with me right now. You're giving me direction. You're giving me guidance. And then you begin to realize that the Christianity is a supernatural experience. There is a power that has to come from heaven to help us to launch into everything that God wants us to do. Now let's read a little bit further. Peter recognized this power, and in Acts 10:38, we read there about how when Peter was preaching, he talked about how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus recognized that there was an anointing, Peter recognized the anointing, the calling, the power that was on Jesus to deliver people from sickness and disease and demonic oppression. Well, think about this for a moment. Are we called to be instruments of God to set people free? I believe that with all my heart. You and I are called by God to be ministers to set people free. Well, if Jesus Christ needed to be anointed with power and the Holy Spirit in order to deal with those issues, do you think you and I have to be? Do you think you and I might need some of that power as well? We can't do it on our own. If Jesus needed power, surely we, if Jesus needed power from heaven, surely we need power from heaven to do the same thing. Let me read just a little bit about that power that Jesus said was going to come upon us in Acts chapter 1. Jesus talked, he's about ready to leave, and he says, don't be so interested in when I'm going to return again. But remember this, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you're going to be witnesses to me. You are going to be witnesses to me, to what I did and what I'm all about. You are going to declare what I'm all about. You're going to declare the things that I've done. And you're going to do that by doing the things that I've done. You see, Christianity is not to be dictated upon anybody. It is to be demonstrated so that people can grab a hold of it when they see the demonstration of the power of God. When they see the demonstration of the power of God, that will open their eyes to the love of God far more than theology will. Theology never saved anybody. But I'll tell you, when the power of God comes in and there's demonstrations of the power of God, people take notice. People began to open their eyes and see.